We begin now a new stage in your learning development, taking a next step towards learning halacha b'iyun, taking a next step towards seeing how halacha actually develops and how halacha is actually learned as an adult Talmud Chacham. Taking a significant step in that direction, we begin to explore an area of halacha. The topic is probably new for many in terms of learning the sugyas. Hilchos Yichud, as I mentioned earlier this morning, Hilchos Yichud is practically very relevant. Hilchos Yichud, the limud itself is very geschmack, and to see how the way the Rishonim deal different approaches to dealing with the sugya, different approaches to unpacking the Gemara leads to different approaches to halacha and how we work that out, that is intriguing. And it's a chance also. Shaul Salanter is quoted as having said that if a Jew is seeking to raise his level of Shmiras HaMitzvahs in a particular area, I want to notch up how careful I am in a particular area of halacha. So he said one of the less obvious tools in your toolbox is to learn that mitzvah, to learn that area of halacha be'ir. And even if the cause of my gap is not a lack of knowledge. And sometimes I'm not careful, Hilchos Shabbos says, is didn't know. I didn't know anything about Borer. Famous line from Beis Nagashos. If you don't know Hilchos Shabbos, you're going to probably be Mechal Shabbos every week. There's so many dinim. There's so many you're not even going to know. Over the course of time, you want to learn Hilchos Shabbos and know more. Okay. But sometimes it's I didn't know that. Obviously, the solution. I don't even know if you saw it. If your problem is lack of knowledge, the solution is learning more. He said, even when the problem is not lack of knowledge, it's not that I'm violating the din because I didn't know the detail. It's not that I don't know every sif cotton in the Chafetz Chaim about Lashon Hara. I know this is Lashon Hara. It's just hard not to say it. Still, we saw Salon to point out the exercise of throwing myself into Hilchos Lashon Hara, to the sugyas, but the Bavshir and the Erech and the Iyun will not only give me more knowledge, but wrap my arms around the sugyas will also give me more connection to that, to practically keeping that part of Allah. So Hilchos Yichud is probably the in many ways the most, the richest, intellectually richest, and most lumdish and most nuanced area in the field of halakhas that govern happy, healthy, holy relationships between men and women. Of the different subfields of that, Hilchos Yichud is not only practically important, as mentioned, the Rambam says, it's a getter hagadol. Be careful, Hilchos Yichud is a pretty strong limit to how much trouble one can get into, but also it's a way of learning the sugyas be'iyun will be geschmack. Learning the sugyas be'iyun will be rich. Learning the sugyas be'iyun will be practical. Learning the sugyas be'iyun will be a fantastic introduction into the world of learning halacha be'iyun. And learning the sugyas be'iyun will give me a chance also to elevate my level of kedusha b'chlal. This is from a learning perspective, in many ways, the richest and most nuanced siman. And the guidelines the halacha has for us, again, in a happy, healthy, holy interaction between men and women. So let's take a look. And one other note as we jump into Hilchos Yichud is a comment that with Richard Reischechter sometimes opens a shiurim in Hilchos Yichud, and that is to realize that Hilchos Yichud is ironically the study of kulos. Hilchos Yichud is the study of kulos. You're saying, well, that's pretty strange because Yichud is an Issa. It's true. But as we're going to see once we begin to range further in the Dinim, and the first sifra or two is a statement of the Issa of Yichud. But the bulk of what we're going to be learning, once you know Yichud is Asr, the bulk of what we're going to be learning is under what conditions is Yichud Mutter. If I introduce additional people in the situation, so then it's Mutter. Maybe if I open a door, maybe sometimes that makes a mutter. People who may show up, maybe that makes a mutter. Who am I related to, and who is she related to, and so on and so forth. Different fact, most of Hilchos Yichud is a study of different factors, any of which make this a mutter situation. We're going to, most of Hilchos Yichud is building your toolbox. What are the tools you can use to be matir what would otherwise be a problematic situation? So in any given situation, you'll be able to assess, is this situation mutter as is? Or if not, what do I need to tweak about the situation? Make it a little more public, bring in more people to solve, to cure the Yisr Yichud. So in many ways, it's going to be primarily the study of Kulos. And that's even true at the very opening. We're going to start, as I was saying this morning, as we just mentioned a couple moments ago, halacha bi'iyun, learn halacha for real. Halacha comes naturally, flows from the sugya. The Rishonim did not see Gemara and halacha as artificially separate limudim. As a child, it needs to be that way because you need to know Hilchos Shabbos before you're ready, before you have the tool, learning tools, to learn Masechta Shabbos bi'iyun to the extent that you can refer to the halacha. But at its core, so practically speaking, you have to learn Kitzur Dinim even before you're ready to learn the sugyas. But at its core, the Kitzur Dinim ultimately flows from the sugyas, and we're going to begin to see how that plays out. It could be starting from Kiddushin, and chunk by chunk, topic by topic, working our way, seeing how we're talking about, exploring some of what the Rishonim have to say about the sugya, and seeing how it plays out in the page of Shulchan Aruch and beyond. And the relationship between the Isser and the study of Kulos already starts from the very beginning. Because Hilchos Yichud begins with a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Kiddushin, a word about the packet that you have in front of you. The packet as advertised as both Mishnais and Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. We're going to get comfortable over time with how the page of Shulchan Aruch works. Just a technical note, you might think it's a little odd, and it is a little odd, that this packet has Shulchan Aruch first and Gemara second, which obviously chronologically backwards and conceptually backwards. Shulchan Aruch comes from the Gemara, not the other way around. Why is it then this packet, the Gemara, is first have three pages of the Gemara and then four Amudim of, sorry, the first three pages of Shulchan Aruch and then four Amudim of Gemara? We can figure it out. Because the sugya began on Amud Beis, so instead of having a packet that begins on Amud Beis, you have a blank sheet, a cover sheet, I guess. So we'll save some trees and start with Shulchan Aruch, and that way it offsets where we're up to, so that the pagination of the Gemara works well. But obviously, that's not conceptual. Things begin with this Gemara and flow to the Shulchan Aruch. So here we are on the fourth Amud of this packet, which is really the first one, Kiddushin Tehillim Beis. This is the very, very end of Seder Nashim. We are learning Seder Nashim every day of the week this year. The end of Kiddushin isn't really Kiddushin topics. In certain senses, it's more like the end of Seder Nashim as a whole. Just as if you've, how many people here learn Mishnayos on a regular basis? Gevaldik. Okay, we should up that number for sure. If you learn, usually everyone knows that there are six Dharma Mishnayos and a certain basic theme that ties all them together. But usually every Masechta and a Seder is pretty independent. But in Seder Taharos, the first Masechta is Kalim, it's 30 Prakim long. The last 29 Prakim of Masechta Kalim are about Kalim. Are about kalim, are one of the four things in the world that can be makabel tuma is kalim. Adam kalim ochlam ashkim. So Maseches Kalim is mostly dedicated to what items qualify as a kli that can be makabel tuma and what not. There are 29 prakim about that. Perek Beis through Perek Lamed. Perek Aleph is not about kalim. Perek Aleph Maseches Kalim was actually an introduction to Seder Taharis as a whole. It talks, it gives you a whole sense of what are all the Avos HaTuma, and then a parallel list of what are all the levels of Kedusha. It's a very fast, intriguingly methodical opening. This is an introduction to the Seder. And then for Perek Beis, we're already talking about Kalim specifically. So in a similar fashion, but from the other end, most of Kedusha is about Kedusha. There's a long excursion or two in the first parak fundamentals. It's all about, begins by Kinyan and Kiddushin, more about Kiddushin in the second parak, in the third parak, the beginning of the fourth parak. Then, at the end of the fourth parak, the Mishnais move away from the halachas of marriage to a halacha of Seder Nashim in general. Yichud needs a home. It's not big enough to have its own Masechta. So Chazal put Yichud at the end of Seder Nashim. So it happens to be Kedusha's last Masechta in Seder Nashim. So here we are paying the days, and the Mishnah turns its attention, and the Dinim of Yichud do involve marriage a little bit, but this is not the halachas of how to get married, or whom you can marry, or how to make a shliach to get married. These are independent. These halachas apply equally. Halachas apply both to single people and to married people. Though marriage, being married, will occasionally play a detailed role. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at a classic Mishnah. Classic in the sense of very, very dense. A lot of concepts, a lot of ideas are packed into just a few lines. Let's take a look, then we'll begin to pick it apart. Peyam et beis. Lo yisyached adam im shtei nashim. A man cannot be alone with two women. Avo isha achas, again, kiddushim peyam et beis. Not, the packet begins with a shulchan aruch. Were you looking for the first gemara amud in the packet? Kiddushim peyam et beis. Mishnah says, one man with two women, that's a problem. One woman with two men, that's okay. Okay, so that already tells me three things. What are the three things that tell me? Okay, it does tell me the men and women are different, in a number of senses. And let me rephrase that. The first thing that tells me that there is an Isra Yichud. That's the first concept that's being implied and assumed. There is an Isra Yichud. Number one. There is an Isra Yichud. Number one, there is a missing yichud. Number two, even if there's more than one woman, even if shtei nashim is a missing yichud. Number three is a heter. I told you, we're at the study of kulas. Here's our first kula. Mishra says one kula is shnei anashim. Two men and a woman, that's mutter. That's not a problem of yichud, but two women and a man, that is a problem of yichud. To think about it a different way, and maybe a little more of a conceptual way, is Reuven and if Reuven and Eliezer are alone, that's a problem yichud. If I add another woman, that's not going to solve it. But if I add another man, that will solve it. That's another way of sort of processing, reformulating what the Mishnah just said. That if a male shomer will solve the problem, Reuven, Shimon, and Eliezer, that's mutter. Because why? Because Reuven and Eliezer have no Isra Yichud because Shimon is there. Shimon and Eliezer have no Isra Yichud because Reuven is there. So that one added man serves as an effective shomer. However, Reuven, Eliezer, and Yocheved, that's the problem. Yocheved does not serve as a shomeris for Reuven and Eliezer. Eliezer does not serve as a shomeris for Reuven and Yocheved. We'll get to why, but first let's just see data. You had a question? Okay. Now that the Mishnah Mishnah moves on. Reb Shimon says, "Af ish echad nisyached im shtei nashim bezman she'eshto imo." Reb Shimon says, "You told me before that one man and two women is a problem." Well, Reb Shimon says, "I have another heter, and that is ishto imo. Stamazai, two women. Reuven." Eliezer and Yocheved, that's going to be problematic. Unless Eliezer is Mrs. Reuven. So Reuven and Mrs. Reuven and Yocheved, that's not a problem. Because just adding an additional woman, she doesn't serve as a shomeris. But if she's married to him, Ishto does serve as a shomeris. Okay, so far we're beginning to build a little bit of a structure. Heter or Shnei Anashim, in other words, an ish is a shomer. Heter ishto imo means that ishto, his wife, serves as a valid shomeris.
Okay. Would be grammatical. She's a shomeris, not a shomer.
And the Mishnah goes on to say, "V'yashim on v'puntaki, v'teisha ishra m'sharmato." You even have a scenario where everyone goes to sleep, Reuven and Mrs. Reuven and Yocheved. And not only is that not an Isra Yichud during the day, but even overnight, that they're all together in the same room, in the same apartment, the same unit, same house, that's not an Isra Yichud, because the Ishto Ima. So that's sort of adding an additional concept, a little ambiguous at this point, that that Balayla or Bishena could be a problem. It was Ishto Ima works even Balayla. Maybe let's type this. Ishto Ima works. Heter afilu balayla. Afilu biyishen, even if they're sleeping.
Okay, so that's an interesting concept also, that could be a variable. As Ezra pointed out before, well, the first variable is men versus women, and not in the obvious sense, but in the sense that they don't have the same impact in terms of shmira. So another distinction we're seeing is that there might be a difference between not just who, but when. That maybe the rules conceivably could be different by Laila than by Yom, but Ishto Ima works even when everyone's sleeping. Maybe other Heterim don't. So we're already learning a lot from the Mishnah. And finally, the Mishnah says the last din of the Yichud is Misyached Adam Imo Ve'im Bito, that a man can be alone with his mother or with his daughter. In other words, mother for mother and son to be alone together is not an Isra Yichud, or for a father and daughter to be alone together, that is not an Isra Yichud. We said, yes, Reuven and Aliza can't be alone together, assuming that they're not related to each other. But if Reuven and Aliza are father and daughter, or Reuven and Aliza are son and mother, that is mother. So that's our point number six. Yet another heter. So heter number three. Oh, it's a study of coolness. We're just getting warmed up here. Just in the Mishnah, we had one heter of Shnei Anoshim, another heter of Ishto Imo, and a third heter of Imo or Vito. Father and daughter, mother and son, parents and children have no Isra Yichud Uba another. And Mishnah goes on to say there's also no Isra Kirubasa. Parents are allowed to touch each other. Mother's allowed to give her son a kiss. Son can give his mother a kiss. Yitzhak Cohen is famous for speaking about some Musa Shmuzin. Now there's a mutter, it's a big mitzvah. That's certainly a fulfillment of kibbutzim, assuming that your mother appreciates you giving her a hug and a kiss, which most likely she does. So that's a mutter and mitzvah. But the mishnah not talking about kibbutzim. Kibbutzim is earlier in Maseches Kiddushin. Here the mishnah is saying between parents and children there's no iser yichud and there's no iser kirbaser. The mishnah says obviously it has to be appropriate, but within the bounds of normal, healthy, appropriate parent-child relationships. There is no Isra Yichud, there is no Isra Kirav Basa. So we have here, again, as we said before we were getting started, a pretty rich Mishnah, totally a classic Mishnah. A lot of dinim, a lot of concepts, packed into just a couple of lines. There's an Isra of Yichud, and adding another man could be a Shomer, but another woman is not, unless she's his wife. So adding an additional man could be a Shomer. An additional woman who's married to the man, Ishto, is a Shomeres. And then there isn't even a need for Shomer if the two people involved are parent and child. And then also there's this implication in the Mishnah that another variable to keep our eyes open for is not only men versus women and number of people, the second variable, the Mishnah definitely talked about the numbers, and we'll talk about that more, but also the time. So we have an Isra Yichud. We have a number of heterim. We're already seeing even more, which is, and this is a structure that's going to unpack more in the Gemara, which is a different heterim, and each heter has its own quirks. Each heter has its own rules and regulations. There's a heter of Ishto, and that's even Balayla. There's a heter of Ayin Shomer, but only a man, not a woman. So we're going to see, as we can proceed in the Gemara, we're going to have more heterim, and also more conditions and tweaks and exceptions to the exceptions. You're going to see that's how things are going to unpack. I'm glad to take questions. I'll just warn you in advance, that clock is fast, don't worry. let's warn in advance that from experience, you will, no doubt many of you will have very good questions. I mean that quite seriously. Many of those good questions we're not yet equipped for, because what I just did to you is a tease. I just like opened a whole world of halacha to you, and it's a very logical world of halacha, so it's very intuitive, and a lot of the cases are natural, and it's not learning kachim. In other words, once your eyes are open to it, you can think of 1,001 cases, and they're all great shilas. It's just that we're not yet equipped. There's a lot more to learn. So it's likely that many of your questions are just not yet equipped to answer, and as we move through the sugyas, more will come up. So if you can ask a what if question, but probably not ready to answer in a substantive way, unless you can go for that, or if you have questions on the lima. Yeah, keep.
My question was just about like other relatives in general, but I figure we'll probably answer that later.
Yes, we will. Exactly. That and that's a very good type of question. If we're actually going to see Gemara, Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch are going to thrash out that very issue. That very issue. Yeah, we'll probably get to that next week. Okay. Yeah, other questions? Been seeing. Another excellent question, which we'll get to also. Right, if it's I'm together with my mother and my cousin. I'm together with my daughter and her friend. So can the mother or the daughter serve as a shomer between me and the other woman involved? Is it like ish or not? That's also a great question, which Post-Gemara is going to discuss. And once we get to the Gemara, we'll be equipped to have a meaningful conversation about that. Yeah.
So, is the focus more on the man and who he can be paired with, or is it both ways?
I don't know if you mean literarily or you mean halachically.
Halachically.
Literarily, Mishnayos are generally phrased B'lashon Zachar, with the notable exception of, anyone know, anyone learns Mishnayos, which Masechta, the predominant B'lashon Nekeva? Masechas? Nope. I mean, yes. Well, much of it is B'lashon Nekeva, that's true. Although, let me rephrase that. Which Masechta has dinim that are relevant to both men and women, but it's phrased from predominant B'lashon Nekeva? Okay, good. So talks about the dinim of the man, so it talks about the dinim of the woman. So the dinim of the woman are specifically about her. Well, you're right, though, that often what happens to the nivelas often happens to the boel, and the focus on the woman. Good. You have nida, if sota. Kinim, okay, good. Because kinim talks about bringing bird karbanos, which can be done by men also, but is most commonly done by women, because every yoledes has to bring a pair of birds. And so far we had Seder Taurus, Seder Noshim, Seder Kachim, and also Masechta and Zroim, which is predominantly B'lashon Nekeva, and that is Maseches Chala. Both men and women have it doesn't matter if you're male or female, if you make dough that you plan to bake, that you have and you fill the other requirements, you have to ma'afer Chala. But the Mishnah is, because it was done predominantly by, traditionally women took care of the carbohydrates, men took care of the protein, so that's why Mishnayos talk in Chalap about the blush in the cave off. Okay. So let's just sketch where we're headed next. So we could take a little bit of a peek. We could take a little bit of a peek later. The Gemara has a series of two questions. And in thinking about these two questions, we also begin to think about the most basic question of Hilchos Yichud that we haven't yet asked. The Gemara wants to know, number one, my taima. And then line later, the Gemara wants to know, my nohani mili. What's the reason for the din? And then the Gemara says, well, where does it come from? And the my taima, here's what's interesting. The my taima, we don't have time to, we can't do the answer to my taima half-baked. It needs to be, we need 3-4 minutes to work it out properly, which we don't have time for. But the Maitaima we're going to see is an explanation of the first din in the Mishnah. Lo yishachar adam shtei nashim. Why not? Why doesn't a second woman serve as a shomeres the same way a second man serves as a shomeres? That's the Maitaima. Then minohani mili is where does it come from in the psukim? So, great answer. You told me what the din is, what the reason for the din is. Maitaima. So several Rishonim and Achronim, the Rashba sounds like this, Pnei Shua, I think has this discussion, some other Achronim point out that the fact that we first have a Maitaima that gives a Svara for why Shtei Nashim V'Ish Echad is Aser, and then we have a Minani Mili, it's a Drasha from Psukim for the Isra of Yichud. We'll unpack this more, but I'll leave it with this concept for now, and we'll see next time how it plays out. So these posts can point out that is Yichud Daraisa or is Yichud Rabbana? That's a very basic question. The Mishnah doesn't address, but what the Gemara gets to right away. Minohani Mili always introduces, where does this come from? It's based on this pasuk. Minohani Mili sound almost invariably indicates we're dealing with the Din Daraisa. And indeed, as we're going to see next time, the Gemara does have a drasha from several weeks ago, Parshas Re'eh, I believe. The drasha is specifically about a scenario of one man and one woman. Because the drasha is going to indicate that a mother and son could be alone together, implication being, you could be alone with your mother, but not with some other woman. You could be alone, you tell a woman she could be alone with her son, but not with some other man. So that's the source in Psukim for Yichud. That, the post can point out, is Yichud Daraisa, but specifically that's one-on-one. Maitaima is asking, what's the law? In other words, once you have three people, three is a crowd, three people is never necessarily Yichud Daraisa. Midrabanan Chazal said, two men and a woman, that remains mutter, but two women and a man, mutter min ha-Torah, but also midrabanan. And that was the opening question of the Gemara, my timer. Based on what Svara, what was the concern that Chazal had that prompted them to forbid Shtei Nashim V'Ish Echad Midrabanan. So now we come back, and again, we'll unpack, we'll see the Gemara and sort of unpack this more next time. But now we see, with just the opening lines of the Gemara, we look at the Mishnah, it says, there's an Isra Yichud, and the Isra Yichud appears to be Daraisa. It also has Rabbanan extensions. So in any given situation, it might be Asim in HaTorah, or Asim in Rabbanan, or Hetzer Gamor. And those are going to be categories of thought that are going to carry us through as we continue to explore Hilchos Yichud, learn more of the Kulos, learn more of the Svaros, learn more of how the limitations of the Kulos, and we'll see slowly, we'll build a working picture of how to handle Yichud situations. Shkoyach chevra, enjoy your lunch. If you want to schmooze here for lunch, go somewhere else for lunch.